I've preached on charity numbers of times, and I'm sure that some of the other ministers have ministered on it, but out of all the sermons that you ever preached, there'll never be a greater than the sermon on charity. Because charity is the root of the entire universe and of eternity. Without that wonderful root, there would be no universe. The Bible tells us that if God had not left us a root, we'd be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus was the manifold love of God that was given to us in human form. And he is the root to all living. It is by him that we live and in him that we live and have our being. Without Jesus, there wouldn't be any existence, because God would literally have destroyed all things. Through his mercy, his love, and his compassion, the world and God's creation continues, for which I'm very grateful this morning. Now, I don't know just what the Lord's going to do this morning, nor what he'll do tonight. I know that I've been blessed in the meetings, and some of the people talk like they've got a real inspiration out of the meeting. And I'm sure that people have received blessings from God in the one or two days that we've been having meeting. I don't know just exactly as to how you have sought the Lord for the meeting, whether you've fasted any or prayed any, or whether you've been diligent toward Christ as to give him an opportunity to do something for you. I think about it, a lot of times people, as a rule, they really don't give God an opportunity to do anything for them. They kind of, as the expression goes, take it for granted that God is going to bless them because they're children of God. Whereas that's not wrong. Truthfully, God is going to bless them because they are children of God. This is God's plan and God's favor toward them. But on the other hand, though God has already blessed us with all heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus, and though God has granted unto us through Christ Jesus all things that pertain unto life, and we're not shortcoming in anything whatsoever, for he hath given us all things, yet we're not altogether partakers of these benefits because of our unbelief and our lack of development, and whereas the Bible uses the terms that my people perish from the lack of knowledge. We're not always partakers because we don't have the divine knowledge as to these things belonging to us and as to our rights. It's kind of like the crooked lawyers of today, you know, how they take away an inheritance. If you don't know when you employ somebody, if you don't know your rights to your inheritance, should you have an inheritance, then you don't get it. By the time the crooked lawyer gets through, he'll give you enough to pacify you, and he's took all of your inheritance. So if you don't know your lawful rights in God, the devil will take away everything that you've got. And people that are supposedly to be those that are shepherds or leaders will talk you out of all the benefits, because when they get through ministering to you, they'll have you so frustrated and confused you won't know whether or not you've got a benefit. And if you do have a benefit, the way that they minister to you, it is so far away until there'd be no chance of ever reaching in your lifetime. So, it's like some of the bodies in the galaxy. They're so far away, you'd never be able to reach them, even though you see them and you get some benefit out of them. But they're so far away, they do very little as to your benefit. The blessings of God is nigh unto you, and the kingdom of God is not afar off. The kingdom of God is also nigh unto you. And not appointed unto wrath, the Bible tells us, but unto the favoritism of God. You're God's people, and God loves you, and God wants to bless you. But to have the blessings, it's like our brother Taylor said this morning, it is so true, he said, concerning the little verse that says, only believe. You must believe. You must believe. A lot of people, you know, they just take it also for granted that they believe. They say, I'm a child of God, I believe. Maybe you do believe that you're a child of God. You know, but so far as believing for the benefits, you don't do that. So then you must believe. It doesn't matter whether I'm up here or Brother Taylor's up here or Brother Parnell's up here or Brother Osborne, Brother Roberts, it would make no difference who was up here. The thing is, if you don't believe, you don't get anything. You just don't get it. I can remember how Brother Osborne has tried many times to stir the faith of the heathens that he might get a healing and a divine miracle so that the people would believe. I remember Brother Roberts made the statement in his early ministry when God was dealing with him and anointing him in a great way. He said that he was in a service and said he just could not get anything to take place, that he just couldn't do it. And finally he just said, God, he said, well, I believe in the law of average. If I pray for enough, something's bound to happen. I'm bound to strike faith somewhere in somebody. So he kept praying for the people until finally he struck somebody that did have faith. And I remember Jesus, who is our example. The Bible said he went into a city, and though he had been doing great things, he came into this city and he found a bunch of unbelievers. And the Bible said there he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And whether we want to accept it or not, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's necessary for us to believe if we're planning to be used of God. It's necessary for us to fast and pray to exercise our ability in his appropriated means and funds for us if we're ever going to draw any revenue from it. So that's why I say I wonder sometimes how many of us come to service having prayed any during the night or having fasted any, missing a meal or two, and as to the motive of why we prayed or why we fasted. You know, you can fast and pray and it still won't do you any good unless your motives are right or unless you are doing it according to his program and plan. In the Old Testament, Jesus reminds us, wherefore have we fasted, say they. Said, you still didn't bless us after we fasted. And Jesus said, I'm tired of the solemn assemblies, and you don't fast the way you should as to make your voice to be heard on high. And your prayers, he said, your prayers are not right. I'm tired of your prayers. Said, you make long prayers with pretense that you might draw the admiration of men, and you love the salutations in the marketplaces, and you love to be called ministers or rabbi, or that is, brothers and sisters. As to having the preeminence among the people, he said, this is no good. But he recommended that we pray in secret so that when no one else sees us, the Heavenly Father will see us. And that we do our alms in secret that the Heavenly Father may see and reward us openly. Some people, when they fast, they publish it. They want people to know about it, and they go to great length that people will know that they are fasting. And when they pray, they make a special effort that people find out about their endurance. And then, of course, the Bible tells me that they have their reward. They've received their reward, which is the admiration of people. And you don't receive any reward of the Heavenly Father. So many a person has fasted in vain, and many a person has prayed in vain to no profit and to no avail. But should we fast to God, and should we pray to God, and should we do our alms in secret to Christ, then the Bible teaches he, though we have done it in secret, he will reward us openly that others may see the blessings of the great God of heaven upon us. And this is thrilling to me. This is so wonderful to me. So then it's good to be here, and I encourage you from day to day, try the Lord. The Bible said, try me, herewith saith the Lord of hosts. See if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. I've tried the Lord in my lifetime. I've sincerely tried him. And did you know that he's poured me out a blessing that I've not been able to receive? He's opened the windows of heaven and I've had to share my blessings, even my financial blessings as well as my spiritual blessings. I've had to share it with hundreds and thousands of people across the world. And he is still pouring out his blessings, and he is still opening the windows of heaven upon me because of his mercy and his grace. Not that I've merited anything, but just that I believe his word and I've accepted his word for it. And through the years, he has graciously and bountifully blessed me. Let's pray and believe. And when Jesus comes into our area, let it not be said that many mighty works he could not do because of our unbelief. But let's receive him with faith and let's make an effort to believe. Just going along daily feeling as though that you are a believer and because of that you're going to be blessed. And feeling that you do believe will not bring you the blessings of God. But if you'll make a special effort as one that gets up in the morning when he's tired and he's weary, and yet he knows that he has a responsibility, he must go to work, he must provide for his little family. So it is with one that believes. As I also heard the great man Oral Roberts say one time many years ago, he said, some people are too lazy to believe. And that is true. Some people are actually spiritually lazy. I've never heard him call them spiritually lazy, but they are spiritually lazy. And we thought numbers of times in our life about spiritually lazy people. I said to Brother David Allen one time, I said, some people are spiritually lazy, David. And I was in a little prayer meeting ministering. And David, after that, he said, you know, Brother Pike, that really struck home with me. He said, I've always been a man that's been diligent. I've never been lazy. And he said, I get up early in the morning before my employees ever are on the job, and I make sure everything is just right. He said, but you know, it dawned on me that a man can be very diligent in the natural and just plain be spiritually lazy. And he said, I'm going to be different. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to do something different for Christ. And he's made an effort since that time. So then, let's make an effort to believe. It takes an effort to believe. Not to make believe. You can have a carnal effort by saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. And when you get through, you don't believe it more than you did when you started. That's no good. But let's make an effort to believe in the sense that we do the things that Christ asks us to do, that which creates faith in our heart as to the stimulation and as to the moving of faith toward God. You know, you don't create faith in your heart to this extent that faith cometh by the hearing of the promise. That is, by the hearing of the word. The preacher preaches, and he that hath a spiritual ear, they get something. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Brother Pike, I've heard enough of the preaching that, you know, I can move mountains, but that's not the kind of hearing that it speaks of. The world hears it on radio, TV. They read about it in the newspapers and magazines. They hear it from the denominational churches every day. They don't seem to have any more faith. As a matter of fact, it appears that their faith is becoming less and less. So that isn't what the Lord is talking about, not at all. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So then whatever God tells you, you've been sanctified by the faith of Christ, contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. Let's do what is needful. If it's fast, let's fast. If it's pray, let's pray. If it's give, let's give. If it's humble our hearts, let's humble our hearts. If it's conforming to his way of life, let's conform to his way of life. If it's meeting his means and measures of life as to the benefit of others, let's do that also. Whatever it is that God would have us to do, if it's seek God in secret, let's do it. That way we make an effort to believe. And John said, brethren, hereby we assure our hearts before God, in that we do the things that please God. And having done the things that please God, he said, this assures our heart. And this persuades our heart in Christ. He said, and because of this, we find ourselves having a confidence in the promises of his divine security, or in his benefits, or we have confidence in what he has told us. And this is our confidence, he said, that arises from our efforts, that God heareth us because we do the things that please him. Thus the confidence arises in our heart. And he said, we know that if God hears us, that we have the petition that we desire of him. He said, if you have this confidence, then we know We know that if we have this confidence that he hears us, if God hears us, that settles it, because we're children of God. He isn't going to deny us. If God hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of him, because he will not turn us away. So that's why the Lord said to the Israelites, you do not pray as you do this day, in that you're trying to do the right thing today. Many times you prayed and fasted. He said, it was not as it is today, to make your voice to be heard on high. You have not fasted, you've not prayed, you've not done the things that please me to bring about this confidence in your heart that God heareth me. God heareth me. That way, with this confidence, if you'll fast for this confidence, he said, then you can have the desire of your heart. For when you delight yourself in me, that is, do the things that please me, to build this confidence, when serving the Lord becomes a joy and a delight and a benefit in the sense of your expectation, he said, once serving God becomes a joy, once you delight yourself in the things of Christ, once you do this, he said, then I'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll give you the desires of your heart, and as I say so often, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, the high places with the rich, with the millionaires. And I will do as I did David. David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote, and I've given you a name like unto the great men of the earth. And I will make your name great, he said in the scriptures. For my blessing maketh rich, and it doesn't add any sorrow, because you're not appointed unto wrath. My thoughts are good toward you. And I would above all things that you be in health. I would that you prosper. I would that your soul prospers. My thoughts are not bad toward you as ye think. For I know my thoughts toward you. My thoughts are toward you according to Calvary and according to the atonement and according to my bountiful love. In that I gave my best through Jesus, what can I withhold from you? In that I gave you the best at the beginning, I can withhold nothing good from them that walk upright before me. And I will withhold nothing good. So then, as it has been said, at the supper, God has saved the best for the last. And he said, I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. If you have to go to the hospital, or if you take that outlook in that you wasn't able to ride over the hill with faith, I'll see that the hospital bill is paid. If you get sick at home, I won't let it be of a long continuance. He did tell them in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, when he exhorted them to have faith, he said, if you don't do the things that I tell you, he said, I'll make your sufferings of a long continuance. But otherwise, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I'll deliver them out of them all. So, we can tell by that when we're pleasing God and when we're not pleasing God. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob, make your bed in the time of your sickness. My blessing will make you rich. I'll make you like the water, the river, the tree that's planted by the river of waters. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves will not wither. Whatever you do, it doesn't make any difference what you do, you'll prosper. I've said this numbers of times. People come to me and say, what can I do to prosper, Brother Pye? It doesn't make any difference what you do, you'll prosper. If you just want to idle along through life and do nothing in the way of natural work, not anything, as long as you talk about Jesus and tell about Jesus and spend your life just drifting here and there, bragging on Jesus and praising Jesus, he'll see that you're fed and taken care of. Now, you might not believe that, but he will. I know he will. He will do it. He will take care of you. Even though I recommend that unless you're going to be out in the work for the Lord Jesus, that you do something, that you take roots, that you be stable, that you labor, that you might have to give and share with others, and that you be an example, as Paul said, working with your own hands. But if you have a calling in God, don't be afraid. He'll meet your needs. He'll take care of you. I mean, he'll bountifully take care of you. But when the crisis comes, if you don't utilize your ability to believe, then it won't come. When time comes that you're having a close call, financially, whatever, if you start getting frustrated and you begin to fear and you begin to be of a doubtful mind, and you begin to get double-minded, the Bible said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. It said, ask in faith, nothing wavering. You've got to believe. Ask in faith. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Ask in faith. When you come into this sanctuary, come in with thanksgiving and praise. Enter into it with thanksgiving and praise. Come with a deep embedded expectation. Have a deep subconscious expectation of the miraculous in your life and the superseding strength of his ability, that you might be strong in his might. That is to a confession of strength when there is no strength. Confess it anyway. Confess that you are strong. When you're weak in the natural, take the word of his promise and faith by the word that says we're strong in him, we're complete in him. Say, I'm strong in Christ Jesus. You don't just have an intellectual thought about it or some intellectual brainstorm, is what it said, but persuade your heart. Deep down in your heart, decree a thing and it'll come to pass. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. And Jesus said, whatever you say, it doesn't make any difference, whatever you say. You say, I think I'll take a trip overseas. I want to go over there and preach to the heathens. But you don't have any money. As I've told my wife, I said, well, I think we'll go overseas, Betty. We'll have a crusade. Betty said, but you don't have anything to go overseas with. I said, well, that don't have anything to do with it. You know that. You get everything ready because we must go overseas. And you decree it in your heart and you say, away we'll go. And then all of a sudden the Lord, who knows that you must go overseas because you have believed it, he provides the funds. And all of a sudden there it is and you go overseas. I say, Brother Pike, that can't happen. It's happened many times with me. That's the only way I've ever been overseas. I never have had enough money to pay my bills, let alone go overseas, except through faith. So then I believe in using faith, beloved friend. I believe in doing what the Lord wants me to do. It cost me multiplied thousands of dollars just at the tent meeting in Alabama, and we paid every dime of it. The Lord provided because we believed. We didn't have it, but we believed. A lot of things I could say to you about faith this morning, but remember, whatever you say, whatever you say, you can have it. If you decree it in your heart, don't doubt, don't waver. Let me say this, and we're going to change the order of the service. Don't come to the place to where you're of a doubtful mind as to saying, well, I don't know, God's real. God, I know God's real. You know, but I don't know whether I can do that or not. I don't know whether I'm in that place or not. I don't know whether I can believe that or not. You know, and everything's so natural around me, and I'm so carnal. I look at the walls, and I look at the trees, and I look at the sky. Where is this going to come from? How is this going to happen? I don't know of anybody that, you know, cares that much for me to do that for me or whatever. I don't know how this will ever happen. See, don't be like that. Say, no, I'm a Christian. In his sight, I'm without spot, and I'm without wrinkle, and I'm without blemish. And he hath made me perfect forever, and I'm complete in him. And I'm his son, and I'm his daughter, and he loves me, and I love him. And he said he'd give me the desires of my heart. And I'm going to decree this thing in my heart, not as to a selfish reason, in that the Bible teaches that many ask, and they ask amiss. They don't receive it because they want it for their own human desire, or to consume it on their own lust. That is, they just want to be gullible and carnal and natural, saying, give me a car, give me a house, give me this, whatever. But see, do it in a spiritual frame of mind. Do it as unto the Lord. Do all things as unto the Lord. And say, Lord, I want this so that I can be a better Christian. I want this so I can have a better livelihood. I want this so I can be a better example. I want this so people can see my faith and know that I have faith and they'll believe in me when I tutor them. I want this so that I can be a better example and use it more for the abundance of your glory. I want to use this, Lord, for your glory, and I want to share this with the needy. And then God will give it to you. See, decree it in your heart, And don't be of a doubtful mind, but just say, I'm God's, He's mine. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace that I might receive this help in the time of my need. God, you're going to give it to me. Don't say in a haughty way, God, you're going to give it to me, because God doesn't have to give us nothing. But say it in a positive way. God, you're going to give me this. There ain't no doubt about it. It's mine. You're going to give it to me. You're going to give it to me. It belongs to me, Lord. And you come boldly before the throne of grace. And you say, now, Lord, this is mine. I'm going to have it. You're going to give it to me. There ain't nothing in heaven and earth going to stop me from getting it. It's mine. Somebody said, yeah, but Brother Pike, I think maybe God, he might try to stop me, you know, when I talk like that. No, no, he'll give you a little shove forward. He'll just stand there, you know, as if to say, as one would watching you, hallelujah, just keep on. Keep on keeping on. He give us a big start and a big shove at Calvary in the right direction. See, so you just say, Lord, it's mine, and get that out of your mind about God resisting you. Get that out of your mind. The devil likes that, you know. He likes to get it in your mind that God is in front of you, that God is the middle wall of petition, because he likes to feel that he's God, you know, and he is God of this world. And he loves for you to do obeisance to him. He loves for you to obey him and humble yourself to him. But see, get him out of the way, and after you get Satan out of the way, there is no middle wall of petition, because God will not pervert a man in his cause. He will aid a man in his cause, and especially the children of God. So then, you get that out of the way. Don't let your thoughts wrestle with you to the extent that you feel, well, my God, how in the world am I ever going to get it? Because I'm wrestling against God. How in the world will I ever get it? You know, if you feel like God don't want you to have it, and you feel like you're not good enough for him to give it to you, and if you've got that feeling, you know, that you haven't walked circumspectively with him, and you haven't done what's right, well, you're wrestling against God. You must forget about faith. Because faith worketh by love, and God is love. And if God ain't on your side, you're in trouble. The Bible said if God is on your side, he'll make your enemy Lucifer to be at peace with you, and all of your neighbors too. He gave Solomon great peace when Solomon did right. But he stirred up the enemy against him when he done wrong. So then I'm saying it's on the basis of serve yourself. Now I'm saying this to you because I thought the Lord wanted me to do it this morning before I ever came into the sanctuary. He dealt with me about saying something to you. Me and him are on speaking terms. He talks to me and I talk to him. And he hears me and I hear him. So don't get it in your mind that you're wrestling with him. Get that out of your mind altogether. See, and have this kind of thinking, even the mind of Christ, the pure mind, have this frame of mind, that he's mine and I'm his. Before him, I have no sin, I have no spots, I have no wrinkles, I have no blemish. Now I know somebody, you know the devil, he'll quote the scripture to you and say, aha, he that said he hath no sin, thus and thus and thus, he'll say. Well, there's one thing about it, we either got to believe that we've got some sin or that he took it away. Which one do you choose to believe? Tell us, well, I know he took it away. Well, tell me how in the name of reason do we still have it? See what it is? It's a misunderstanding of the scripture. And Satan takes that to hold it over your head, to beat you over the head with, because you don't understand it. Just like he said to Jesus, he said, you're Jesus. Jump off this mountain. Exercise your great ability. Just jump off of this mountain, he said. Jesus said, no. No, that's the wrong interpretation. He said, well, you're hungry. You got that great power. He said, turn these rocks into bread. Jesus said, nah. Misinterpretation. And somebody would say, well, why didn't Jesus just do it and shut his mouth and show him who he was? For one reason. If Jesus had jumped off of the mountain, naturally speaking, he'd have been killed. That had been the end of the plan of salvation. Somebody would say, no, not Jesus. He couldn't have got killed. Well, he did get killed at Calvary. They killed him at Calvary. So it's positive proof he could have got killed. But nevertheless, he saved his life for the purpose. Where sometimes we foolishly go the other way. But he saved his life for the purpose. And then on the other hand, God could have preserved him. And he could have utilized his faith to keep from getting killed. But if you transgress the scriptures, you don't have any faith, because faith is in the scriptures. He knew that. And he'd have been contrary to the Heavenly Father. And then on the other hand, had he turned those rocks into bread, you know what he would have done? He would have automatically submitted himself to Satan and became Satan's subject. in that he would have honored and obeyed the word of Satan, contrary to the word of his father. Because what Satan had said, he would have done. Thus, all would have been lost in life. Salvation would have been a lost cause because he would have at that point submitted himself to the enemy, and the enemy would have been his master. He said, no. No, I won't do that, Satan. So then a lot of times we don't understand the word, and such is the case in the writings of John. For as I said the other night, the same John that said, he that saith he hath no sin, that this man is found to be a liar. But if we confess our sin, God is just to forgive us of our sins. We've got to understand to whom he was speaking. And that same John was the one that just within a few passages of scriptures over made the statement. He said, he that is born of God cannot sin. He cannot sin because the seed of God is within him. There is no sin in his life. He that sinneth is of the devil. By this we can tell the difference between the children of God and the children of darkness. He said, you can differentiate at this point. Said, because he that sinneth is of the devil, but a child of God doesn't sin. Therefore, beloved, there is no sin to them whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. And when the Lord said, he that saith that he hath no sin, he was speaking to the self-righteous Pharisees and scribes and religious people that felt that they were clean by the law of Moses, when Paul was trying to tell them that the law could not cleanse any man from iniquity. If there had been a law that could do that, he said, Jesus would never have come and died. And if the law could do that, then Jesus died in vain. This was the dispute he had with Peter. He said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God, Peter. That's something you don't understand. You misunderstood something. You've let Satan take advantage of it. Well, that's true, because Peter did curse at times. He got upset before he really got filled with the Spirit. He was erring. And it is true that Peter did follow a symbolic thing concerning Lucifer. And history tells us that he was crucified upside down to show the fall of Lucifer. In that Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. And inasmuch as out of Peter comes the Catholic Church of the papacy, being the first pope, or that which is contrary to God, and that which has brought about the whorish way of life, and that which killed the Savior himself. So I said all of that to try to say this. When you believe that your sins are gone. The songwriter said, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. And they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. So when you come before God, come as a sinless person. Come as a Christian. Come as a son of God. Don't come as a sinner. If you are a sinner and you come as a sinner, then get born again and be washed in the blood, that you can come as his darling daughter, as his darling son, as the apple of his eye. And you come and you say, Heavenly Father, there's something I want. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because you've not denied me this. And I rejoice in the fact that it is mine and all things are mine. And I praise you for this, Heavenly Father. I praise you for an overcoming life, because I am complete in Christ Jesus. I praise you for divine deliverance and healing in my body, in that sickness cannot reign in the membership of Jesus Christ, of whose bone and flesh I am. You've overcome it, Father. I thank you because I've overcome death and I'm alive forevermore, and that I shall never come into condemnation, in that I cannot sin. I have passed from death unto life. And thy seed, even the word, which brings me faith unto sanctification, remains in my heart to the power of translation into another world, in that I'm not of this world, I'm not in the flesh, having been chosen out of the flesh. I am with thee, Heavenly Father, forever. I have a table prepared before me in the presence of mine enemies, and my cup is running over, because you have anointed my head with the great loving spirit of thy, the all of heaven. And even though I'm still down here in the valley of this old world, walking beneath the shadow of the spirit of Satan, or the enemy of death, I won't fear him, and I won't fear any of his evils, and I won't have fear and a frustration in my heart, because thou art with me. Not against me, but thou art with me. Thou art with me. And he said, "You'll make me to lie down in the green pastures," David said. "And you'll lead me beside the still waters." That is to fellowship people that are not wretched and that are not boisterous and mean and contrary. "You won't lead me into the troubled ways of life and with people that are evil and wretched," in that John refers to people as waters. "But you'll lead me beside peaceful waters, because they that follow thee have great peace." What great peace have they that love thy law? In that the Bible tells us that all of the ways of God are peace. And so then you lead me beside the still waters, into peaceful paths of righteousness. And he went on and on with his parabolic speech until he said, "And Lord, I shall dwell in your house forever. I shall abide in the house of the Lord forever. I'm in your house, and I shall abide in the house of the Lord forever." That is to say, Paul said, it's not me living, but it's the body of Christ. It is the house of God. And my little house has been torn down because of sin, folded and laid away, as in the Old Testament, because the plague was found there. It's been taken away, and I now live in a new house. This new house doesn't have a plague in it, and my spiritual man has moved into the new house. And in this new house, the plague has been taken away. That is to say, in the Old Testament, if a house could survive in that, it went through the washing of the hyssop and whatever, the plague was moved and a person could continue and the house was not destroyed. "So then destroy this temple, I'll raise it up again in 3 days, Jesus said. And this little house, I abide in the house of God, David said, forever. In that this is the temple of God, Peter said, leaving this tabernacle, I have another one eternal in the heavens, which is the body of Jesus Christ in the Spirit. This one is not made by hands. So I am in the house of God, and I'll abide in his house forever. For in this house, as we say, there are many members, or in this house there are many mansions. And each one of you being a beautiful mansion for the spiritual man to dwell in that you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those many mansions in the house of God are the many members of his body. This is what Jesus prepared for us. I go to prepare a place, I prepare this place. And then after I've gone to the throne and I've made everything right, I'll return again and receive you unto myself or unto my own, that where I am, there you may be also. So in this, we see what David meant. Then he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'll abide in the house of the Lord forever." That is, thy rod, thy word, thy staff, the Holy Ghost. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Your spirit and your word, your presence and your understanding, they comfort me. So then I'll not fear. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Let your heart be fixed that evil tidings will not trouble you. David said, this is the way I am. I'll not fear. So in this, let's go boldly before the throne of grace. It is a throne of grace. The law is filled up and taken out of the way. And it is a law of grace. You're not under the law unless you be fallen from grace. So you'll not be judged by the law. There's no condemnation to them that walk upright before Christ. I want to give you the desires of your heart. Are you enjoying the desires of your heart? How many of you are enjoying the desires of your heart? Are you? I really am enjoying the desire of my heart. Now, I didn't see very many hands that went up. But I really am a Christian. If you never received anything in your life, to have Christ in your heart should be the desire and joy of your heart. For the Bible said he is the desire of ages. At least you should know and be enjoying that. But I'm not only enjoying the desire of my heart in that the desire of ages is in my heart, but I'm enjoying the desire of my heart that whatever I ask of him, he giveth it me in his name. So this is, I would that you bear much fruit, and this is the fruit that I would like for you to bear. Even whatever you ask of me, I would like for you to have that. Bear much fruit, that is to have whatever you ask in my name. So then I give my heart and my life and my spirit to my Maker, even to my Savior, Jesus Christ. without reservation of heart, to love him with all of my strength, with all of my mind, with all of my heart, to love him that way and to love my neighbor as myself. For God is love, and faith works by love, and Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. So then I said all those things this morning to encourage your faith in God towards your benefits. Go boldly before the throne of grace. Claim what you want. Decree it in your heart. Not in your head, but in your heart. Your heart has to wrestle with your head because of your human senses. That dictates to your head. Through the five human senses, Satan works through the weakness of those things to dictate to your head, to rule and to reign over you. But I can assure you that your mind is not in your head. Your mind is in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Though science declares the mind is in the head, they're not wrong to this extent. The mind of Lucifer is in your head because he works through your human senses. And that's the only way he can reach your heart or oppress it. But though he worked through sight, smell, taste, and these things as to gender thoughts of evil, the confinement Paul spoke of, the outer bondage of that, he said, warring against my mind and a law in my members bringing me into the captivity of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am. Though he looked at this, he said, yet on the inside I delight after the things of God, for I see a law inside, which is the law of liberty. In this I rejoice, and with my mind, that is the mind of Christ, my pure mind, as David called it, I serve God. Within my heart I serve God. Within my mind I serve the Lord. Deep down in my heart, he said, I serve God. And this that brings me into captivity, that's in the law of my members, he said, it hath no power over me because of the body of Jesus' death. That part in the sight of God is folded up, laid away. And God never sees those dictating thoughts and those errors and that oppressing power that runs across my mind to try to trample down the mind of humanity. He said, God never sees that. I've escaped that through Jesus. All he sees, not the conflicting mind of doubt and problems and circumstances of life, but all he sees is the positive mind, not the negative, the positive mind. He sees that as the mind of Christ. And he sees the positive body as the body of the Son of God, of his flesh and bone, which is righteousness. And he sees the Spirit of Christ and not my erring spirit of problems. All he ever sees is he sees me as the body of his beloved Son, that one to whom he can deny nothing. So then, being the Lord Jesus Christ, he cannot deny me anything, not anything at any time. He must give me the desire of my heart. You say, why? Because I have earned it. If I have earned it, how then can he deny me? Someone would say, but Brother Pike, you have earned nothing. I know that the man that's dead and buried and was laid away in a watery grave in his name didn't earn anything. But the man that lives, and that Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ Jesus that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, for because I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That man earned it, every bit of it, by the nails in his hand and by the beating upon the back. And even though he earned it, did you know that not one time did he claim it through the fact that he earned it? He gave it all to me and he gave it all to you. And then he died as a sinner. He died as one that was lost and made his grave with those that was lost, that I might live and never have to die. Never have to be buried if I just walk on and have faith in him. The mystery Paul spoke of, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but be changed. And that from glory to glory. So, I am his body. I reap his benefits. He claimed the mercy of God. And today, I claim the mercy of God by his earned benefits. Through his effort, I claim nothing as to a merit of my own self, but in him I am complete, and all things that pertain unto life are given to me through him. So I claim those things through his efforts and his toils, that by his stripes I am healed. This is wonderful because God cannot deny me anything. If you are in this frame of mind, then are ye in the mind of Christ. And then do you reap the full benefit. But if ye are not in this mind, if you're in the old conflict in mind of the world, and you're not up in that heavenly place, and you're not here with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, then you're walking in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, that means you cannot please God, because being in the flesh means that you walk in the human senses and in the range and radius of tangible matter or natural life, which means that you can never please Him. Yesterday, a young minister came to me. He's been in the ministry for quite a number of years, and he's not so young, you know, in that he's not had a lot of experience, numbers of years, and been with some of the leading ministries. And one of the most outstanding minister that we have in the earth, he's been with him. But he come to me and he said, Brother Pike, he said, I know now that all of my efforts was in the natural. He said, I know that they were in the natural, though I was with that minister. And that minister has moved across the earth. He said, but I know that I was in the natural, and all the things that I'd done was in the natural. And said, I know now the ingredient that's missing in my life is the revelation of Jesus Christ as to the mysteries and the unfolding of God's Word. He said, I know that now. But you know, beloved friend, this is something I'd like for you to think over. I talked to him before he ever went out in his early ministry. And I told him those things, and I told him what he needed. But his zeal, as I reminded him yesterday, his zeal took him into those things. As it was with the Jews, a zeal without knowledge is one that runneth and beateth the air, not having a message from God, not waiting on the Lord, but having people in admiration because of advantage. He said, Brother Pike, said, it had to happen to me, didn't it? Said, I had to do that. Said, I had to go out there. Said, it tore me to pieces, almost made me bitter. And said, I told my wife, if I had just not done that, how far advanced I would be, how far I would be in the things of God. Said, but I had to do that. So as I explained to him, it was necessary, he had to do it to ever really get rid of his zeal to come to this. Now he's grateful because he feels like at last he's going to progress in the things of God and come to the desired haven of Christ. So I said all of that to say this. And that is, don't be of a doubtful mind. Be of the frame of mind that I spoke to you about. Don't wrestle as to try to get a little nibble of something that's very tasteful and that the whole thing belongs to you. Don't let the devil sit and eat and throw the crumbs to you. Jesus said the crumbs belong to the dogs. And he said the Gentiles was the dogs. That's all they ever get in life. Though they have new cars and homes and whatever, Paul said the beggarly elements, which is the crumbs that fall from the children's table. He appreciated the spirit of the woman in her humility when he rejected her as to her seemingly desire. Then she said, the dogs eat of the crumbs. The dogs eat of the crumbs. Seemingly she desired something of Christ, but not as to what she thought she really wanted. And he knew that because her desire was human desire. But when he corrected her desire and told her what she really needed, by giving her a little reproof and having humility, the Bible said humility goes before honor. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. So he was the most highly exalted. So then Jesus said, the dogs, the crumbs, the bread belongs to the children, the crumbs belong to the dogs. She accepted that. When Jesus said, this is the children's bread, shall I then take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs? She said, Master, the dogs eat of the crumbs. And he said, woman, great is thy faith. You won't be found eating of crumbs. In that you're a daughter of Abraham, you'll never eat of the crumbs. I just wanted the humility to get the middle wall of petition out of the way so that you could be filled to the full. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup to the overflowing. And my cup overflows, David said. So, if you're not in the frame of mind that I spoke of this morning, you're running short. You're running behind. You fail to have that charity that John preached about last night, and that faith works by love. You fail to fully submit yourself to this wonderful, bountiful fountain that's opened in the house of David, which is the stream of love, the river of life. You fail to have perfect love because perfect love casts out fear. And if you have fear, Jesus said, fear not, because fear versus faith and it's contrary to your believing. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, then all things are possible to them that believe. Or that is to say, because you are a believer, then all things happen to you. There's nothing that is impossible to you. There's nothing but what it can happen to you. When Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe, he did not mean that all things by chance could happen to you. Or he did not mean that perhaps by chance you'll strike it rich and get a nibble. He didn't mean that. He said, because you are a believer, there is nothing impossible to you. All things, therefore, are yours because you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. So he was saying, because you believe, whatever you want, you can have it. Because all things have become possible to you because you are a believer. There is nothing impossible to you. Just believe and go on and have what you want to. Or that is, it is all yours. And because you are a believer, then you have come to all things that belong to you, to your partaking and benefit as you will. So then, let's believe, beloved friend. Let's believe. Let's believe. You love Jesus? Okay, let's stand together. You say, but Brother Pike, you haven't read the Bible. I've been talking about the Bible ever since I've been up here. The Bible said it's not you speaking, but the Bible speaking. Or that is, he is the Word, the living Word. So, this morning, I had planned to have a speaker. And the Lord said, I want you to speak to him. And I said, Lord, there are men there that it seems that I need to have them to speak. But you know, the Lord don't want us to get in a rut. Last night, some was expecting me to preach the night service, and Brother John preached it. This morning, somebody expects somebody to preach the morning service, and here I am, I'm preaching the morning service. And somebody would say, well, I never did hear you preach. Well, having ears to hear, you didn't hear me. Because you didn't have the right ears to hear. Having ears to hear, you hear not. But the Spirit said what it would to the church, even as Jesus preached. Jesus preached in his quiet, meek, humble way, sat down on a rock or in a boat. And then there was times when he lifted up his voice like a trumpet, depending on the distance and depending on the people. But anyway, in this little exhortation, I've tried to frame your mind as to program it for the benefit of faith, and all the good things that God has in store for you. Try to do this because I want you to believe. And in speaking to you, it's been a real pleasure this morning. But I want you to stop and think for just a few minutes before we dismiss. I'll let you go your way. I know you've got duties at home. And ministers will be speaking to you from time to time. I want you to stop and think. Why should I listen to the negative voice of Lucifer or that which resisteth me in my desire toward him? Why should I listen to a conflicting voice that says no, no, no? Someone would say, well, the devil don't say that to me. Yes, he does. He says, no, you're not good enough. You got to pray some more and fast some more and you got to live a better life and then you'll be eligible. He'll say, no, God doesn't do things like that in this day. And then he'll say, no, your faith is not strong enough for that. You know you can't have that. And on and on and on, he says, no. But see, the Bible teaches that all of the promises of God are yea and amen. because of Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus. Yea, and amen. And that he'll not alter the thing that's gone out of his mouth, but he'll hasten to perform it. And the word of God will not return unto him void, but it will prosper in that whereunto he has sent it, and accomplish that he please, or his pleasure. In that all things were made by him, and for his pleasure were they created, and without him was nothing created that is made. And all things belong to us, because he gave it to us through Adam. And though Adam lost it, he redeemed it through the second man, Adam, and restored it back to me, if I can believe that. And that's where faith comes in. They believed unto death because of the fall in the first man, Adam. Why can't we, as children of the second man, Adam, and the regenerating into the new generation of our Savior, his generation, his posterity, why can we not, as children of God, claim what Adam claimed in the beginning before he fell? I believe it's mine, folks. The kingdoms of this world belong to my God and to his Christ. And he's going to reign forever and ever, and all things are mine. And I am with him to rule with a rod of iron over it. Even the word, the rod that David spoke of. To him that overcometh, I will give him power over the nations. I will also give him my new name. I'll write my new name upon him, and nobody won't know it but him. And I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule with a rod of iron, and he shall literally break the nations in the shivers, as a man breaketh pottery. Power over the nations, and I will give him to eat of the hidden manna. This is so lovely, this is so wonderful, this is so beautiful. So being sons of God, why should we then be denied? Now then, if there is a question in your mind as to sonship, so that Satan doesn't have an advantage left. If there is a question as to sonship, then I suggest that you come on down to the altar now, and let's settle that dispute over Moses' body. Let's settle that dispute. And come on down, and let's talk about Jesus. And let's talk to Jesus. And like the song we wrote, if you talk about me to the Lord. So then come on down if you have doubt as to whether you belong to the Lord or not. Because you need to settle that. If you don't believe that you're a son of God, then you need to get saved. Because believing is what makes you a Christian. One of these days we'd like to talk about the dispute over the body. Because that's where we're living today. The dispute is over the body. It's not over the spirit. We accept the fact that we're born again of the spirit. But the Bible said that there was a dispute over the body of Moses. Someone would say, well, he's dead and he's gone. And I believe that until the Lord showed me. But even under the law, there was something that happened to Moses' body. So as to the dispute over Moses' body, as to whether it went, I have somewhat to say of that myself in the way of dispute, and have done it. Because Moses' body has to do with a great and a mighty thing, in that he was God to the people. And without God, you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. Let's sing this little chorus together. Now I'm real hoarse. Isn't it? I can't shout at you and holler. I can do that. So I just kind of shy away sometimes when we're singing. Say a few words and let you sing. Just enough to keep leading you. So if I sing a few words, if I sing the whole song, you sing along. Because we're supposed to have leadership within us anyway. As Christ leads us. Let us then be followers, dear children. Paul said, follow us as dear children. Be therefore followers of me, even as I follow Christ. Let's sing this together. We sing the song, Into My Heart. I'd like to say I'm glad to see Sister Doris back. I guess by that Gerald is home. They've been down in Old Mexico, and they took some clothing, took some things down there. George Jr., who left last night, he and Dale, my son-in-law, families, they went down with them. And I understand they've done a real great job down there. We had just sent one carload or a truckload of clothing just before we sent this one. And the first went into the areas of Del Rio, down into Acuna, Ciudad Acuna. And this one went into Laredo, coming up above Matamoros, between Matamoros and Del Rio, far over from Del Rio, around the bend. We came in from Laredo, Texas, into Laredo, Mexico, and down into, maybe into the interior, I don't know, but down into the deeper areas, sharing what we have with the needy and trying to follow the course of pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father, which the Bible teaches is this, that you minister to the widows and to the orphans, to their need. And then, besides that, you keep yourselves unspotted from the world. So let's sing this little chorus into my heart. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. How many of you would like to lift your hands this morning? Close your eyes. And even as I sang this morning and leading you in this little course, say, Jesus, come into my heart. And say within your heart, oh Lord, I believe what this preacher has said. I believe this. I believe that this is the missing links. I believe that this is the key that the doctors of the law has taken away and shut up the door to knowledge. I believe that this is the key that Peter found as he recognized the Christ. And that if I can actually really, truly feel and think and react in my heart in the same calm, collective, confident way that he expressed, well, oh my God, what can I be? Who am I? What is this that I have received? What is this, the Bible said, that our father Abraham has found as pertaining to godliness? Friends, some will never receive this because they are given to the flesh and they are given to the natural way of life and they are given to the things and the human desire. They do not know honor. They do not know obedience. They do not know reverence. They do not know Christ. And all of their labor is for their selves, because self demands it. And Satan savors the things that be of self. But you that are just simple, down-to-earth believers, you're Christians. Though you may not be outstanding and great in the eyes of somebody or to the thoughts of somebody, but how much greater can an individual be than being a son of God? Is there anything greater? When Jesus said, "Ye are gods," is there anything greater than being God? For I've made you God unto the people, Moses. Is there anything greater than being God? Therefore, ye are gods. Though you die like men, and why do you die like men? Because you don't understand, and because you will not listen, and from the lack of knowledge. That's why you die like men. Why do you die like men? You die like men because you do not know the benefits of the promise. Therefore, you cannot believe what you do not know. You've not applied yourself. So then this morning, I ask you to accept what I've said and believe what I've said. And go forth, not wavering, not doubting, but with full confidence The Bible said Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform. He was fully assured, fully persuaded in the promises of God. He was fully persuaded. He just wouldn't listen to that old negative mind, the negative thoughts. For he knew that in the heart of man it was continually evil. The Bible teaches that the thoughts of man are continually evil. There's no good thing in the flesh. You must kill it. You must fold it up. You must lay it away. You must take on new flesh and new bone, even the sanctified body of Jesus. For charity thinketh no evil. Charity never listens to the negative side of eating and drinking and riding and reveling, of frolic and gullible desire. It never listens to distorting thoughts of oppression and sorrow and being cast down and misused and being pushed aside as to be denied of that which belongs to us through Christ. The songwriter said, I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Since Jesus came and died for me, I would not be denied. So then, in this, we see what God wants us to have. And in this, we see the wonderful ways of God and the lovely benefits of Christ. So while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and your hands are lifted to heaven, let's pray. Father God of heaven, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, and we do give honor to our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus, giving all praise and honor to Thee, Heavenly Father, and Thy lovely Son Jesus, praising and adoring Thy lovely name. Father, knowing that today we have right to the throne and access to the great light, even the Heavenly Father, and that through the Son of God in the veil of His human being or His flesh, and that He hath rent the flesh and the veil to make a door into heaven. Knowing that we have the benefits through Him, even Jesus, that dwells in that great light, and He alone being heir to it. Therefore we approach unto Thy throne, Father, and that reverently and yet with great boldness, knowing that all things are ours. This is the confidence we have in Thee, that we pray and You hear us. And in that You hear us, we have the desire of our heart, in that we contend for the faith, even the faith of Jesus Christ, who was once delivered unto the saints of God, even the quickening that raised up Christ from the dead, even that we feel in our mortal body. And Father, today, go with our beloved brothers and sisters, and be with them throughout the world, and especially these at Bethlehem. Dear God, and these that have come through the camp meeting, and give us a good camp meeting, even according to our desire and expectation. So let it be this great thing, O God. For Lord, we believe. We believe. Lord, we believe. Hallelujah. While you've got your hands lifted up, your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Fontaine to come up, if you will, and ask him to dismiss the service this morning. And while you reverently think upon these things, just as the song said, O Lord, I believe. O Lord, I receive. All things are possible to me, O Lord. Therefore, I give praise and honor to Your name. And the Bible teaches, in praising Him and thanking Him for all things, this is the thing that displeases God. It's when we do not give praise, honor, and glory to God for all things. For the Bible said that we should give praise and honor and glory to Him for all things. Someone would say, for all things that He hath created. No, though we do praise Him for that. Give praise for all things in that you accept all things that belong to you as a rightful heir. Giving praise and honor to God through the mind of confidence that all things are yours. You belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. So going about rejoicing in your heart, because there's nothing that is denied you. There's nothing that is not yours. Life, health, hope, security, whatever. Just giving praise in your heart, because you are not striving to be a millionaire, but you have always been a millionaire. You're not striving for the wealth of the world to get a little bit of it like a rich man would do. You've always owned all of it. You've always been heir to it, not waiting for the inheritance to come or the time of the bar mitzvah, because Calvary was the bar mitzvah. And the only thing is, you'd just never been born at that time. So you had to wait till your day to be born. And now that you're born, all you've got to do is accept Calvary. And at the birth, the child is caught up to the throne. If you've been born again, you're there at the throne to rule with a rod of iron. For your bar mitzvah was Calvary. So the Jews until Calvary was under tutors. But when Calvary come, the faith came that was spoken of. The faith by which we're sanctified. And the law was folded up and laid away, and we've been justified by the faith of Christ ever since. By believing in that faith. Thus came the bar mitzvah. But the Jews didn't recognize it. But the spiritual Jew took their place, and we recognize it. So let's not wait. Solomon said deferred hope, because it sickens the heart. So let's just not wait. Let's thank God for all things. Give praise and honor to God for all things. Let's enjoy all things. Let's realize who we are and what we are, that He supplied all of our needs according to His riches of streets of gold and gates of pearls. He hath supplied all of our need through Christ Jesus, and will supply all of our needs as to our confidence toward those things as we walk out and partake of them. For wherever you set your foot, I'll give it to you. Whatever you say, you can have it. As you think in your heart, so ye are. Say it, you can have it. Decree it in your heart. Go on your way and enjoy it. He'll renew your youth. He'll renew your strength. He'll make you rich and add no sorrow. Make whatever you do prosper. Give you the desires of your heart. Make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Whatever you do will prosper. Okay, our brother Fontaine is going to pray. Brother Fontaine, if you will.